So good evening, everyone. During this sitting period, I want to invite you to just continue in your practice and offer a little talk, something for us to take in and consider. It's a passage from Ecodharma, Buddhist Teachings for the Ecological Crisis by David Loy. But the emphasis in this talk is not to expound on the actual ecological crisis. We all know about that, I assume, I hope. Many of us are doing what we can to take action to avert impending disaster for future generations. So what does Buddhism have to offer to this engaged practice that many of us find ourselves involved in, especially at this heightened time of intensity in our political environment with an election right around the corner and debates, and we're constantly surrounded in so much intensity. And of course, we don't want to disengage because the world depends on our acting in accordance with the precepts and acting in accordance with our vow to save all beings, to liberate all beings, to reduce harm and suffering in the world. So these are our precepts in our Buddhist way. And yet we can also find that when we hold them with real sincerity, many of us also suffer. We become so heightened in our awareness of suffering in the world. We know that we are like giant mirrors of all beings. We are so profoundly interconnected and interwoven with all beings in this world that it's not a surprise that when we see turmoil in the world and we see suffering in the world, that like great mirrors, we reflect it and we feel it ourselves. We feel it inside ourselves. We can describe this as no self, no separate self. We can describe it in mystical terms, or we can keep it almost physical, right? The air we breathe is outside and inside. Not really a gap, after all. So we find our connectedness is very real. And that is an emotional connection as well. So for those of us who are invested in our precepts and in our vows of saving all beings, often we do find ourselves suffering, feeling like we're carrying a very heavy weight, and that we have so little power and so little control. And this vow to save all beings, to liberate all beings, held with sincerity. And then the great contradiction that, of course, it is impossible. And here we find the great challenge of our practice, one of the great koans of our practice. David Loy, in his book, offers this passage that I wanted to share with you. I think it's quite relevant to these times. Cultivating insight and equanimity supports what is most distinctive and powerful about spiritual activism. The Bodhisattva acts without attachment to the results of action. I'm going to read that one more time. Cultivating insight and equanimity supports what is most distinctive and powerful about spiritual activism. The Bodhisattva acts without attachment to the results of action. Jade would like to offer a comment as well. So, what does this mean for us as practitioners, how is it that we hold this vow to liberate all beings from suffering, to save all beings, to save our planet, to preserve our planet as a habitable environment for future generations? I mean, that is a talk about save all beings enacted, right? This desire to preserve a habitable planet. And not even just for human beings, but for all species. And anyone who's studied the environmental crisis in any depth knows how profoundly interconnected this is with racial justice as well. The people who suffer most are the poorest people, and people, of course, also in across the world who live in these warmer climates that are more likely to turn into desert. We're talking about the potential of billions of people migrating and moving in a world that could obviously become more nationalistic. The suffering that we're talking about is enormous. So, of course, we act on behalf of these beings. And, of course, we act with a great sense of urgency. This is our vow. But urgency is not to be confused with the sense that we have control over what will happen. Each of us knows through our practice that a great part of our practice is actually surrender. A kind of surrender to karma. Karma is not just personal, it's collective. Karma is the vast interconnected web of cause and effect. Cause is infinite. Causes, conditions, giving rise to infinite causes and conditions, giving rise to infinite causes and conditions, moment after moment, blinking into being, born out of infinite causes and conditions, vanishing and giving rise to infinite causes and conditions. This is our world, our universe. This is this moment. We are obviously not in control of that. We are part of it. And so we can't control the outcomes. We don't get to control the outcomes of massive political processes that are so much bigger than us. We don't get to control who's going to win the next election, what legislation gets taken up. Quite beyond us. This is just reality. The reality may indeed be that we continue on a crash course like the Titanic, and that we actually sink, that we are unable to save our species, or that there is vast, vast, incomprehensible suffering. That's the reality. Sometimes giving up, we try to hold on to more control than we actually have, psychologically speaking. In some way, we know we don't have control. We try to hold on to more control than we have so that we will do something, so that we will stay engaged. If I do something, something will change, it will get better. Maybe. We don't know. We may be the last drop in an ocean of people taking action that finally does indeed make the difference. But the place we act from is actually a place of not knowing. Not a place of certainty. Not a place of egoistic control. It has to go my way. It's just bigger than that. But we do act nonetheless with a great intention, holding all beings in our heart. So where does this great love come from? Where does this great love come from that inspires us to stay engaged, to continue to care? For me, here is the most beautiful koan of practice. What is the source of our love? The answer is in our sitting. The answer is not separate from our practice. What is it that inspires our desire to be of service to all beings is this enormous interconnectedness and love and gratitude and compassion that we feel as we sit and meditate and absorb the presence of our world. Once again, we are in cricket season. The window is open in my back to the backyard here. And I don't know that you hear them, but they are singing loud and beautiful. And as we know, their song does not go on for long. It may only be a few more weeks that we hear their song. It will descend in its pitch. As the season goes on, the days get colder, the song gets lower. They start as sopranos and become alto, tenors and altos, and it sinks from there. Baritones by the end of the season. And then their song is silenced. And so it may be with humanity. Do we stop loving the crickets because they may be gone next week? Or do we love them all the more? This attention to this very present moment is precisely where we find our interconnectedness and our motive to engage, to act on this love. Because, no, we don't control the outcome. No, we don't get to say, I'll save all beings. It's not about me and my little ego. But we do get to act out our love. That we feel as we hear these crickets singing in our own hearts, as we feel this air nourishing our bodies, we naturally want it to be pure for all beings. Even as we hear the sound of wheels passing down the road, I hope those are electric cars. And hold even that type of sound, whoosh, of a car's wheels passing by, so intimate, so weirdly beautiful in its own way. Everything preaching the Dharma, everything preaching the Dharma. This is what we feel as we sit together. So often, why, as we sit at the end of our practices, we say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody, because we all feel it. I don't own it. You don't own it. None of us owns it. But we are it. We are this Dharma, not separate. It's not outside of you. It is you. Knowing this is why we act. This passage ends with one little line that I want to read for you, and then we'll end this talk. Aphorism 28 of the Tibetan Lojong training offers a classic formulation. Abandon any hope of frustration. Don't get caught up in how you will be in the future. Stay in the present moment. Thank you.